Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's the Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, all unaccounted for. Brady's here, Rich is here, Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? Whoa. What's going on, big boy?
What?
Did I scream a little too loud? I got the earwax going on. Okay. Though I did see something on Facebook just out of the blue where somebody had like a candle over their kid's ear and it sucked the wax out of the ear.
Well, wait a minute. Doesn't that add wax?
No. It was like a candle.
Wouldn't that burn your ear?
No. Wasn't,
how is that good?
It wasn't to the ear. It was catching the wax dripping from the candle, but there was another part of it, and it was sucking the wax out of your... I don't know how it did.
So
why don't I
just book? What?
Why don't I just put a vacuum cleaner attachment up to your
ear
at that rate?
Thinking about doing that. I am thinking about that. That's a possibility. What's going on? What's happening? How you doing
Nothing.
Today, huh?
Just ready for the weekend. I just heard Torrence Gosher say the S word, which we haven't heard in 6 months. So I'm looking forward to that yellow orb in the sky tomorrow.
Somebody on Facebook follows me, or Twitter just followed me, and I always see see who it is. And it was a girl that says she was a meteorologist apprentice.
Wow. A.K.A. intern.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Does that mean intern?
No, because I think she was done with college and stuff, and she was learning how to be a meteorologist. And I'm like, well, I could teach in about 10 seconds. How about that?
You're out of your mind. Are you high? I mean, it is
420. Wow, look at you. I mean, it's your holiday. It's not or what?
Do you know how many times that I know this is at least the fourth time I brought this up, but do you know how many times I took introduction to meteorology at Linden State? 4 before I passed it. It's brutal.
Why did you have to take that?
It's part of the general education requirements in which everyone who does radio and TV over there, this is back in the course of the 1940s, had to also take sciences.
Oh, so this was your major.
This is why it took me 7 years.
Oh, I was a sociology major.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah. Sociology?
But meteorology is not easy.
I want to be a college professor.
My college roommate.
Can you imagine?
My college roommate. I'm just going to ignore that. Yeah, my college roommate.
Melder of Minds.
My college. Wouldn't it be Molder of Minds?
Same thing.
A Melder?
What is a Melder?
A Melder Marcos?
No, I don't. Mistake of the day.
Well, if you meld minds, doesn't that mean you're bringing minds together?
I think you would be molding them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with molding also.
Right. Anyway.
I'm going to go with that.
Mistake of the day.
Meteorology is tough. My college roommate was a meteorology major, and he wanted to do it, but he couldn't pass calculus. And you have to know math in order to do it.
It's nasty, Arnie. I'm telling you, you wouldn't last 3 days in that class.
You have to know math?
Yes.
You do.
Big time.
Yeah. Get Sean Parker on the phone. Let's give him a math test. Let's see how much math you know. How much math you need to know to look at a computer screen to see if rain is coming, huh?
Barometric pressure.
I watch the news. When they say 1 to 3 inches on the computer screen, I go on TV and go, hey, 1 to 3 inches coming. How much math is involved at that?
So somebody is predicting the 1 to 3. Somebody somewhere along the line has calculated that out.
And I will use their information for my good. I'm not going to figure it out myself.
And trust me, at Linden State, there's a lot of meteorology majors. That's one of the majors there. And they send them all, and it still is. It's a huge one over there. And I had meteorology majors all in my suite. That's all it was me and meteorology majors. And they never could party because they were studying every night.
Yeah, whereas I was a journalism major. All I ever had to do was write papers. I never had any tests. So everyone was stressing through like 4 or 5 finals. I'm like, I got one article to write, one paper to do.
Yeah. See, that's why I did sociology. I thought it was the easiest way to get out of school.
And how many years did it take you to finish Arizona?
We'll let you know when I finish. Okay. I'll get on that.
Still haven't finished?
Yeah, still working on it, though. I'm working on it, though.
I didn't always go to Arizona. I went to USC for a year. That's University of Southern Colorado. I was going to play basketball there.
I was heading out to play a little hoop there at USC.
You were one of the intramural stars.
Not intramural. They were like D, whatever that was at 12? The time. I think it was called NAIA back then.
Oh, it still exists.
Yeah. Does it?
NAIA exists, and there's no grade requirements to play in it.
Wow.
Yeah, so Champlain College used to dominate that division.
Yeah, that was the division I was going to be in. I could barely make that division. That shows you how damn good. I want to do something fun tonight. I have no plans tonight. Seriously, I you know, we said we'd like to play poker with some of the listeners, maybe Friday night poker night. My brother plays like poker three nights a week. So
your brother has money to spend.
Yeah, I know that. I know that.
He's got money to lose.
I know.
Well, in the 3 o'clock hour, and this happens a lot, your brother called and you had him on speakerphone.
Oh.
There are literally two Arnies in this world.
He is just such a... It makes me sick sometimes.
It made me sick, and I was 10 feet away from the phone.
By the way, people don't know, I'm going out to L.A. on Wednesday for 2 weeks, but I'm going to be doing the show from Los Angeles.
Thanks
because,
for the warning.
Well, I just, you know, I'm going to be going out there. Yeah, I haven't been out there in like 2 years, so I'm going to go see my mom, who wasn't feeling very well. Mm-hmm. I got to tell people, you know, because my mom's feeling much better now. But she had 96% blockage on one artery, 88% blockage on the other artery, and 38% of her heart tissue was dead.
How do they figure this out?
But she's fine now.
You told me that, and I thought, well, how do they tell exactly what percentage?
I don't know.
Like meteorology, it's really hard.
She had like less than a 10% chance of living had she not gone to the hospital that one night.
Well, get your butt out there.
Yeah, so I'm going to go out there for a couple weeks, you know, say hello. It's been 2 years since I've been out there. That's crazy.
Now, if you heard this about your mother-in-law, would you fly out there?
Who? Who? No, of course. I love my mother-in-law. What are you kidding? I mean, I do.
If you want to do something...
Wait a minute. I love my mother-in-law. Yes.
If you want to do something fun tonight, you should just rewatch last night's Jersey Shore.
I was thinking about you. I saw clips. I think it was like Entertainment Tonight was showing clips of it or something. Yeah. Did it live up everything it was supposed to be or what?
Oh, it was great. Although I feel bad for Ronnie's baby mama because he might have cheated on her last night.
I heard that was the big controversy that he almost hooked up with his old girlfriend or something.
No, not his old girlfriend.
Oh, no.
This is a new girl.
My bad.
He picked up in the club.
Ah,
we'll
amazing.
We'll have to find out next week if he actually did or not, but they were behind closed doors.
And these guys, they get paid a lot of money to do these shows.
Yeah, to sleep with each other, basically, don't they?
Well, not all of them are doing that.
Well,
in the original incarnation, it was Ron and Sam. They were together. And then Vinny and Snooki inexplicably got together a couple of times. But
oh, the horror.
Yeah, see, I hate reality TV, but I'm all in on Jersey Shore.
No,
I watched my
this.
First 30 seconds of Jersey Shore. I was going through the channels on the cable last night, and I just happened to see that. I said, I think it's that show.
Yes.
So I made a point of it to watch it, and I lasted 30 seconds. I saw one guy with an entire stomach full of tattoo.
Vinny?
Okay, well, of course it's Vinny. What else would his name be? And another woman who had more makeup on than any person I've ever seen in my life.
That's all of them.
Oh, okay, so that didn't narrow
Snooki,
it down.
Snooki was always, you know, she was that plastic surgery she got, though, her lips are like duck lips.
Stuck together.
So
she can't even open her mouth.
Did a lot of people watch this?
That's good news.
People do watch this,
do watch this. What channel was it on, by the way?
MTV.
Okay. I didn't even know. What?
You remember the music video channel?
Last time I watched MTV, David Roth had a video coming out. I forget the name of the song, but I mean, he was singing a song, and it was all video all the time.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Video killed the radio star.
Wow.
Not us, though.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, we got a busy Friday. By the way, I had a brilliant idea. Why don't you guys come out to L.A. with me? And hang out with me for 2 weeks. We'll all do the show from out there.
And hang out with your mom?
No, my mom's in a rehab center. We got the whole condo. My brother's got a house.
Right on Venice Beach or whatever?
Yeah, no, she's in Westwood, but Venice Beach is like 10 minutes away.
Okay.
Yeah, Rich is like, okay, let's do it.
No, I want to stay here. The weather is perfect.
Yeah. I'm only going if Ohtani pitches.
Yeah, we can go to an Angel game, Dodger game. We can have a blast. Brady, what's coming up on the show?
Game? Oh, maybe not.
Yeah.
My family's Angel season ticket holder, so we can sit right behind home plate.
Wow.
Well, they're probably not very happy this
week. Why don't you guys come out for like a week?
We can sit 8 rows behind home plate.
You can stay with me.
Yeah. I don't know that I could take you for 24 hours.
Rich is actually thinking. Look, it's 30.
8 rows behind at that park? Sure.
Rich, I'm taking all the equipment with me. It wouldn't be that hard to throw an extra headset. We'll take a vote on the Top Fair Tire text
line. Well, the vote's already done. I said yes, so it's 2-1.
Los Angeles, what do you guys think? 802-655-6672. Rich is in for sure.
Would you like to hear something interesting and funny first?
Yes, go ahead.
Today is 420.
Yes.
Today is the window that starts the marijuana testing in the NFL.
This is so on 420, the marijuana testing starts today.
Yes, it says key. This is from Andrew Brandt.
Yeah.
Key date for NFL marijuana testing. For players who have never tested positive before, the window for one-time testing starts today and runs through August 9th. So they're saying, we think that if you're going to smoke marijuana for the first time, it might be today.
Well, then you would do it on 419. If you're going to get tested early at 4:20, then you have the rest of the afternoon to go ahead and do whatever you want after you get tested.
It stays in your system for a few days.
Oh, you mean get tested more than once?
Don't you mean 4:21?
Yeah, but No. These guys getting tested, they only get tested once.
Yes, and they start getting tested today.
Right.
So you would be
and
saying...
And once you're tested, you're done with it.
Yes, you would say you would be doing it on 419. I'm telling you it stays in your system for a few days, so you might need to go April 10th.
I mean, that's why you want to start the testing on 419, because if you start the testing on 420, they'll just say, okay, I'm done testing in the morning. Wait till you see where I go in the afternoon. I'll tell you that. That's unbelievable. So.
Well, as for what's coming up...
Yeah, what's coming up on the show today?
Remember what's going on this week for the station. Well, next week, rather. Tuesday, trivia at the Burger Bar, 7:30 to 9:30 in Colchester. Wednesday, we're broadcasting live Arnie List from the UPS store at Carmichael Street in Essex. So down near the Essex Cinemas. So we'll have fun there. Mistake of the Day, remember? We'll get our winner for the Mistake of the Day today, and they'll get that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. Today, Matthew Ross, TSN 690 in Montreal, talks hockey with us at 4:20. Bruins with a win. The Patriots lose an integral part of the organization. We'll talk about that. Somebody has a huge birthday today. Power plays at 5:35. But first, the Red Sox are 16-2. We can only start the show the same way so many times, but this is impressive.
16-2. I see that the best starts in baseball history. Is that what this is? With Milwaukee going 17-1. Is that Gorman Thomas and the gang and
Robin
Yount? That was Harvey's Wallbangers.
Yeah,
that was. See, that's the difference. I don't. When I look at this Red Sox team, I don't put them among the all-time greats because I mean I didn't look. I'm not a baseball guy, but I knew Harvey Wallbangers and Gorman Thomas with Milwaukee.
That team. So what you're saying is since the schedule went to 162 games back in 1961. Four teams now have started 16-2 or better. Right. Red Sox being one of them. This great Brewers team you're referring to that went 17-1
missed the playoffs.
Missed the playoffs. So don't tell me that you know who they are and they're an all-time great team. They missed the playoffs.
I think they have several Hall of Famers from that team, though. You mentioned Robin
Yount and Molitor.
Is Gorman Thomas not
No. Oh, my gosh. He struck out a billion times.
So it's just those two, Molitor and Yount.
I can't
are we missing
think of anybody else?
Else
on that team. And the pitching
come on
staff.
Now.
Well, they had Vukovic. I'm trying to think of the pitchers.
But I mean,
B.J. Surhoff was the catcher.
He was the catcher, though. Yeah.
Dale Sveum, former manager.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Cecil Cooper.
Oh, yeah. He was a big-time player.
One of the worst
trades
in the history of the Red
Sox.
Wow,
he was a big-time player. So that was 1987. You remember the 84 Detroit team.
Chris Bosio.
They started 16-2.
Well, not only 16-2, they also started 35-5 that year. I mean, they just went, and the season was over by the end of May.
Is that Alan Trammell, Lou Whitaker in that team? Okay.
Again, how many Hall of Famers on that one, on that team coming out?
Trammell.
Was Morris on that team?
Jack Morris is a Hall. Yeah, I would think he's already in, right?
I'm not sure he was there in 84, but anyway.
What about the 81 Oakland A's? You want to talk about, is that like Joe Rudy
and Gene Tennis.
Oh, geez. I mean, again, and
Sal Bando.
It was really their pitching staff, if I remember correctly, of the Oakland A's that year. So they seem like they have historic names that have lasted. I mean, Rich and I are rattling off names, like 40 years ago, 38 years ago.
Yeah,
so
I can tell you this. I have not heard of any of those pitchers that were on that A's 81 team.
Okay, can read them off.
Stewart
was Holtzman on that team?
Rick Langford.
Rick Langford.
Steve McCaddy.
No, I didn't.
They all win, not all win 20, but they all pitched.
No, that was when Billy Martin was the manager.
No, actually, none of them were.
But they never took him out. Martin would leave them in.
Right,
they all
right.
pitched like 200
like
innings.
Was Kingman the pitcher? No. Kingman wasn't a pitcher then.
Yes, Brian Kingman.
Yeah. Oh, Brian Kingman. Wow.
He went 3-6.
Yeah, he was, I pulled that one out. I don't
Rick
know.
Rick Langford, Steve McCaddy, Mike Norris, Matt Keogh.
Mike Norris and Matt Keogh were players.
They only went 64-45. Is that a strike-shortened year?
81.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So, absolutely. I think the Reds had the best record in that year in baseball and didn't make the playoffs. They got the best record in the first half and best record in the second half. But anyway, getting to your point about the Red Sox starting 16-0.
16-2.
I mean, excuse me, 16-2.
I wish.
Could have been 17-1. Am I going to look back at this team and say, oh, wow, look at these great names? Maybe a Mookie Betts or something like that. Or maybe I'll say the same thing about Sale. But I don't know if I'm going to talk about as fondly as I did with some of these other players did.
Look, let the Red Sox guy in the room bring you down to earth. This is a great start. And believe me, it sure beats 2-16.
Right,
I mean, this to me is just completely out of nowhere. Not so much the offense, but the pitching. I mean, if you had told me Rick Porcello would have one walk and be 4-0. And hell, even Erod went out there and pitched well again. last night. They've really only had one or two terrible starts. The one real bad start was the Price start, which was one of their two losses, right. The 10-7 loss a couple weeks ago to the Yankees. And, you know, you almost are at the point right now where you almost don't want Pomerantz to get inserted into the rotation tonight. It's like, no, let's just keep going with what we've got. And you almost don't want Bogarts to come back, even though obviously he was hitting. Because this role right now, man, this is unbelievable. These games are over immediately.
I mean, it's the 15th time in 18 games that a Red Sox starter has held an opponent to two runs or fewer. And you know what? I have spent a lot of time trying to downplay this team and trying to say, they better win now. You know, this great start is now. They better capitalize and win because the future might look bleak and blah, blah, blah. You know what? You do have to just enjoy this. Yeah. 16-18. Yeah. 16 wins in 18 games. It's an unbelievable start. The Yankees are just 9-8. You're getting some separation from them early. You're creating some separation from Toronto. You are going to play those teams and undoubtedly beat up on each other, and this lead probably won't be as big as it is right now. But just enjoy this. I mean, it's nice to wake up and turn on the game and see Mookie Betts homering to lead off the game every single night.
Especially when it starts at 10-10 or whatever.
By the way, just switch it for a second here. Could you imagine if the Yankees had started 16-2 and the Red Sox were 8-8 or 9-8 or something like that? If the Yankees were 16-2, national media would be talking, is this the best team of all time? Will they win 160? I mean, there would really be talk about how great are they. You know?
I mean, we said preseason, and I think the Sox are a 90-win team. I think the Yankees are a 90-win team. But after this start, and that's where the significance for me is, is they're making it difficult for the other teams. They're forcing them to get going at some point here early. I know it's only, what, 5.5, 6.5, whatever it is separating the Yankees. But it's sort of forcing their hand a little bit. They need to get going.
Tristan and Wilson on the Tom Fair Tire text line said the 87 Brewers started 20-3, and then they went on to lose their next 12 in a row after that. So that means they were 20-15. Wow.
You do see that. Yeah. You see that a lot. I want to say since like 2001, 10 teams had started at one point like 14-2 or better, and four of the 10 had missed the playoffs. It's pretty amazing that a hot start is not indicative of future success. Because I know that a really, really poor start seems to be indicative of future failure, but a hot start isn't always indicative of future success.
And that rings true locally, too. I'll never forget. I can't remember what the year was, but the Lake Monsters, I think they were the Vermont Expos at that point, opened up like 8-0. And this is where they were awful year after year. They opened up 8-0, and everyone's going crazy. And then they proceeded to lose, I think it was their next 14 games. But, I mean, you talk about a hot start followed by a cold start. It got so bad, their general manager was sleeping in the dugout after about 9 or 10 losses in a row. Ended up spending like 4 nights in that grimy dugout at Centennial.
Jeez. All right, Tom Fair Tire text line. Red Sox, I don't want to say are they going to be able to keep it up, but now, I mean, if – I wish I had the stat, like how many more, if they play just a little bit above 500 the rest of the way, how many wins will they have and stuff like that? They could be easily a 90-plus team, close to 100.
That's
right now.
The point that Brady was making about, and the key word is separation. I mean, you know, all these games count.
Yeah.
And to get off to a 16-2 start or whatever they are is creating a little bit of pressure below them in the standings.
It's April. That's like when I say, we were watching any NBA game last night and there was a bad call 5 minutes into the game. You're not going to worry about the call 5 minutes into the game like you were 5 minutes left in the game, though it's still each one call, though. You know?
Yeah, but they still all matter, Arnie. So what I've said all along is that create the separation now, because when you do fall back to earth, then you can still have a 3-4 game lead. And that's, you'd rather have that than start out kind of puttering along and be even,
right? No, of course,
then hit a skid, and then all of a sudden you're playing from 5.5 back the whole year. This is good. I don't think that they're going to play at a 950 winning percentage the entire year, whatever it is, but this is way better than starting off the other way.
If you're going to equate this to basketball, Arnie, this to me looks like a getting off to like a 10-1 start.
Yeah,
you know, in a basketball game, and I don't mean record wise. I mean in the game itself.
By the way, I got the answer. Eric and Vergent and Tim and Wollaston, if the Red Sox go 500 the rest of the year, they'll have 86. Well, excuse me. Tim and Wollaston said they'll have 86 wins. Eric and Vergent says they'll have 95. So, okay.
It's a slight difference.
Oh, wow. Wait a minute. Mojo and Milton. Quick math says if the Red Sox go 20-2 to start and then play 500 ball the rest of the way, they'll win 90 games.
So at
we have 85, 90, and 95. It's like an SAT question. Can we have? Do we have a math teacher?
D is none of the above.
I will figure it out at the break. I'll do the math myself because you know I'm very good at math.
Oh, of course.
I am very good at math. Brady, what's coming up next?
Matthew Ross, NHL Insider, TSN 690 in Montreal.
Next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
Our listeners, Arnie.
You guys are very bad at math.
Oh, I thought we had a rough time
with
math.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Eric and Regenge are wrong again. It's not 87. Big Mike and McGillicuddy just says, this is simple math. It's 86.
You're wrong, too.
You're wrong, too.
So even the trash talkers are wrong.
Yeah, even the trash talkers was wrong. Brian in Richmond, I don't even know what you're doing.
Well, it is 420.
Buy him a calculator for his birthday. Would you please do that? Mojo and Milton, you're wrong again. So Mojo and Milton's like making up his own question. The question is, if they go 500 from here on out, how many wins would they have? Only one person got it right, and that wasn't Eric and Virgens either. Which one was it? It was... we laughed at Big Mike. Oh, JT in Burlington. He says, do the math, guys. 16-2 with 144 left. If they go 72-72, they'll have 88 wins. You're welcome.
Yes. That is correct.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a root canal.
And we did figure that out in the break.
Yes, we did. Oh, you're horrible. You're horrible. Brady, who do we got coming up?
Matthew Ross is on the line, TSN 690 in Montreal. And, Rich, it's a glorious time here in the New England sports fandom.
I would say maybe.
Yes.
I think we've had one loss in all combined Boston sports teams. The Toronto win over the Bruins last Friday or whatever it was.
Well,
that's been it.
The Bruins win again last night. The Red Sox are 16-2, as we just talked about. The Celtics are in the playoffs tonight. Matthew Ross, TSN 690 in Montreal, is on the line. How are you?
You guys are spoiled, man. Yeah.
Terrible. I couldn't agree more, and I'm the cause of it. It's unbelievable to me how long this goes on. It really is. And it wasn't always this way, as you know.
No. I'm old enough to remember Steve Grogan, for sure.
Well, a lot of people aren't, and let me tell you, I hear about it. Oh, you guys are so spoiled. It's like, well, what about the first 35 years of my life?
Matthew, what'd you make of the Bruins yesterday? 3-1 win. They beat the Maple Leafs. They've got the 3-1 series lead. What'd you make of their performance last night?
The performance that is basically the template for the rest of the playoffs. You know, the Leafs outshot the Bruins. They were just as disciplined in terms of not taking penalties as the Bruins. The Bruins had to block way more shots than the Leafs last night, but they got the job done with good goaltending and strong defensive play and rolling line after line and maybe a little dose of old school Zdeno Chara. Did you see the stats? He played 26 minutes last night.
Yeah, he seemed like he was out there all the time. I'll tell you, other than refs not dropping the pucks on faceoffs, I think the only thing that drives me crazier in the NHL is everything is either upper body or lower body injury. And what did you make of the Bergeron injury? And do you think that was the hit to the head in Game 3? And are you concerned about that?
Well, anytime there's an injury to Bergeron, you have to be concerned, not only because of his lengthy injury history, but because of how important he is to the Bruins. I thought it was a really, really impressive performance that they came back and won the game without him. I think if you're the Bruins, whether he's healthy or not, maybe you even sit him in Game 4 in Toronto and just let him play in Game 5 if there is a game. You sit him Game 5 in Boston and play him in Game 6 if there is a Game 6. I mean, it's hard to say what they're going to penalize and not penalize anymore. I mean, I've given up trying to predict how many games someone's going to get or not get. All I know is when it comes to Bergeron, I think the fans are also maybe a little hypersensitive just because of his concussion history.
Matthew, you are also a Celtics fan. You are also a Red Sox fan. So I'm going to ask you this. You look at the young talent on the Bruins, the young talent on the Celtics, and the young talent on the Red Sox. Which team's young talent are you more impressed by?
Ooh, boy. That's a tough one. I mean, they're all humming along. You know, it's funny, too, because with the Red Sox, they're 16-2, but they have the same team as last year plus J.D. Martinez. So part of me is basically saying, yeah, this is great, and then they'll go out in the first round. So there's a bit of bitterness there, I think, from some Sox fans, you know, as evidenced by the ratings last year and the lack of sellouts for season tickets and stuff. But to me, it's the Celtics, and I don't think they get enough credit and enough excitement in the market. You know, Jaylen Brown dropping 30 points and being the youngest guy ever to do that in the glorified history of the Boston Celtics is just crazy to me. And, you know, doing it where your point guard is, you know, just finally in a season where he's starting games, you know, a third of the way left in the season, it's just amazing to me. I mean, he's being asked to play basically shooting guard right now instead of maybe small forward where he should be. And it's especially on a night where Jason Tatum didn't exactly light it up. I think the combo of Brown and Tatum, who everyone wants to trade for, you know, Kawhi Leonard or get LeBron or whatever, I think you keep these guys, man. I think it's easier to say the Celtics. It's a cop-out answer because there's less players on the roster. So you have, you know, second-year player, rookie player, third-year Rozier. You know, Yabusele's had some great moments. Ojeleye's had some great moments. So I would have to say the Celtics.
Yeah, Matthew, I mean, you know, you look at Philly, and they're on fire, obviously, and back on track after last night, and of course, Toronto, too. But, I mean, does this team, as it's currently put together, without the big guns, have a chance at winning the East?
you know, it's tough, man. I think they match up better against Toronto than they do against Philly. I was really pulling for the Heat last night. But it's tough, man. With those big men, the problem is, you know, you have a guy like Aaron Baines who one out of every six games will get 20 points. The rest of the time he's in foul trouble or he's missing an easy layup. So, you know, and you're going to have to match him up against two Embiid. It's a tough matchup. I think I would like the Celtics' chances a lot more if Daniel Tice was still around because he was such a great rotational player. You know, Greg Monroe's going to be in there to help with Embiid and the big guys, but you know, how many minutes can he play? Brad Stevens doesn't seem to like to play him more than 25 minutes a night. So, yeah, it's a tough situation.
Matthew Ross, TSN 690 in Montreal and online, deadhitsports.com. And if we go back to the NHL, on Dead Hit Sports today, you wrote a column about the Vegas Golden Knights, and that's Rich's one of his favorite stories in sports. They're already on to the second round, a sweep. I think the first team with a sweep in its first ever playoff series since like the 1940s. What do you make of Vegas?
Can you imagine how Buffalo Sabres fans feel? I mean, they've been around forever. Their team's intact. They got Eichel and O'Reilly, and they had Evander Kane, and they had all these pieces. And here comes an expansion team, and they have basically twice as many wins as them. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Buffalo, by the way, is the number one market game in and game out for NHL playoff hockey, according to the ratings. So I really feel for that market. But in terms of Vegas, I mean, George McPhee, the general manager, who probably should not have been fired from Washington, has just done a diligent, masterful job. He didn't even really pick up anybody at the trade deadline. They went out and got Thomas Tatar, you know, an 18-goal scorer. So it's amazing what's happening there. It's basically an aggressive forecheck, a team defense that they all believe in, a lot of speed, relentless play. But I didn't see this coming, guys. I mean, I kept saying the Kings would come back in that series. I mean, the head coach, Gerard Gallant, had won a division with Florida but had no success in the playoffs there, did nothing in Columbus as a head coach. So I just thought that you know, the clock was going to strike midnight at some point. But, man, I was wrong. I mean, they're 5-1 odds right now to win the Stanley Cup.
And what's crazy, too, and I don't mean to be Debbie Downer, but does the clock strike midnight next year? Because what happens this offseason? Didn't this team in the expansion draft take on expiring contracts they thought they could flip at the trade deadline to get younger prospects? What's their situation look like in the offseason?
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, James Neal, I believe, is a free agent, and he's going to command anywhere from $6 million a year, maybe $7 million a year as a power forward. So it's going to be tough to sign him. And you're right. They got these guys. They were going to flip them at the deadline. They ended up signing a couple of pieces. Jonathan Marchessault, who's a near 30-goal scorer, and he's done it in Florida as well. They end up signing him to a long-term deal, a couple of the other players as well. I think if you're James Neal, you don't want to go anywhere else. Where are you going to go? And you're going to be a bit player or, you know, a guy who's not as important. I mean, where else would you want to play than that market? So I think in the offseason, they're going to be very aggressive in signing their free agents, especially if they end up going to the Stanley Cup final. And then the other thing here, too, is you could see them as big players in the free agent market as well. I mean, that's a team that's now got a winning tradition, an exciting city to live in. And you need maybe another, they need a puck-moving defenseman. They were big players in trying to get Erik Karlsson from the Senators. Maybe they try that again.
And then there's the Capitals-Blue Jackets series. Would somebody please explain that to me?
Yeah, winning games on the road. All four games have been won by the road team. I think in the case of the Blue Jackets, at the beginning, they're trying to write a, a wrong in terms of not having any success in the playoffs with Bobrovsky. He's been good. And then the Capitals said, okay, well, we're going to be the laughing stock of the NHL once again if we don't win some games here. And Game 3 was a hard-fought overtime victory that they came out with, and I think it might have shattered the confidence a little bit of the Blue Jackets. So this is going to be an interesting one. It's really hard to call. I had Columbus winning in 7 originally. I guess you can't go against that because basically they're on pace for a 7-game series, and if more games are in Washington and Columbus has been victorious there, then you know how do I go against them? I'm just worried a little bit about the psyche of the Capitals. If they get down in Game 5, do they get blown out and then lose in Game 6? So it'll be interesting to see if they came back for naught or if this is them steamrolling the Blue Jackets.
Matthew, we'll get you out of here on this. We can try to explain it to our listeners, but you'll do it more succinctly. What happens in the second round? If the Bruins close out this series, who the heck are they going to play and how does the format work? Because I just finally got used to the first round format.
So you got to get out of your division first. You got two rounds within your division. So the Bruins play the Maple Leafs in their division. The Bruins will next play the Tampa Bay Lightning. And so that'll be the matchup that everyone will be excited about. You know, the Lightning ended up winning the division and obviously playing the Devils. I think, obviously, the Bruins fans are going to be a little, apprehension there because the Lightning ended up winning the division, but they shouldn't be. The way the Bruins are playing now, it's textbook hockey, and I think it'll be a great long series.
That's bizarre. I was absolutely sure that wasn't the case, but is it in the best interest of the NHL to have the 1 and 2 seeds in the East playing each other in round 2?
Well, they're trying to create divisional rivalries like they had in the 80s with the Adams division, you know? So they're trying to get, back in the old days, you first would play fourth and two would play third. And so the Lightning were the leading team. So they got to play a wild card team. But, you know, they won and they'll have to play within their division again to get out of the division and then take on the other division. So it's all about creating rivalries and in the NHL's case, they hope TV ratings.
Matthew Ross, TSN 690 in Montreal and online, deadhitsports.com, joins us every Friday in some fashion here on 101.3 ESPN. Matthew, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Oh, very good. Got some hockey in there. I was watching that Washington game last night. That was just unbelievable.
Frustrating.
By the way, I think they do that also to avoid two teams from the same division going to the conference finals. So that's what they're trying to avoid, unlike the NBA, which I guess they don't really care if that happens. If you have two,
they wouldn't do that, and they don't care in baseball either.
No, they don't care in baseball. In football, definitely. It's all about record and on after that. So, but you know what? Hockey has to do something a little bit different, and I think that's actually good. I think what they're trying to do is, I think from what I understand, have a coast-to-coast or a little rivalry going on. They don't want try to have it in the same region. So.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's weird to me. Maybe it's because I'm a Bruins fan, and now the Bruins are going to, if they continue to win and Tampa continues going to win, get stuck with a number one seed in the second round. That just doesn't seem right to me.
And they're the...
Although, if instead of them, they would have had Pittsburgh, so I'm happy about Tampa.
Well, Pittsburgh is...
I don't want anything to do with the Penguins in the playoffs.
And Tampa hasn't finished off yet. Was it 3-1?
Neither have the Bruins.
Is it the best of, 6.5? I didn't... something like that. I didn't know that series was over. Brady, what's coming up on the Champlain Valley game night tonight?
We're going to talk with Justin Martin of the Vermont Sports Hall of Fame. They've got their induction of their 6th class ever tomorrow night. We'll talk about who's going in and where you can attend.
What's coming up next?
Coming up next, the Patriots. The schedule came out yesterday, and that's a happy time, but the Patriots lose an icon.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about that next.
Golic and Wingo when you drive in, and the Huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It's a Friday.
Yeah.
And it's 4:20.
Well, sort of. We missed it.
What did we miss?
It's 4:42.
Oh.
Did you celebrate 4:20 and you lost track of time?
No, but the whole day is 4:20, though, is it not?
That is true. I thought you meant 4:20
on 4:20. I just have to ask, people running around all over Vermont, just like smoking marijuana. Is that what's going on out there? Or
so
what?
why should today be any different than any other day?
No, I mean, is that what's going on today? Is that what, like on college campuses and stuff like that?
I mean, don't people who smoke pot every day smoke pot every day? And it doesn't matter
so.
What day it is?
Yes, but people like presents every day, and then Christmas, do you still get more?
So they're really
high. Yeah, but you don't get
today.
Presents every day. It's like Michigan. I know they do something crazy on this day where all the students just go nuts.
Well, UVM used to have like a smoke-off protest or something they used to have, and everybody would be standing there smoking, and they'd let them.
Oh, I read somewhere where the police are just like, just don't drive.
Yep.
Just don't drive. So, I mean, absolutely okay with that. All right, longtime Patriot broadcaster. Gil Santos passed away at the age of 80. Give us a little play-by-play, Brady. Certainly very famous.
Yeah, this is the Patriots' first Super Bowl to win over the Rams back in the 2001 season. It was the year of 2002.
Dan Walter will hold. Lonnie Paxton will snap from the far hash mark. Angle to the left for Adam Vinatieri. 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is...
Absolute chills. Wow.
One of the worst days in history.
Oh.
No. Just...
And the rest, as they say, is history. Little did we know at the time what would be next.
I thought you cut out the, is it good or not, Brady? I'm like, well, is it good?
Was like a highlight montage. Yeah.
I'm like, well, let's get that out there.
He wanted to make sure he made that call right because he had been doing Patriots games for decades at that point and they hadn't won anything.
I got to tell you, I don't know if he was as famous as... a lot of team play by whether it's baseball. It seems like baseball has more famous people.
Yes, there's every night.
Yeah, it's more of your pal on the radio, the baseball thing. With football, you get 16 or in Gil's case, usually 14 games.
Well, NBA has 80 plus 82, same as NHL is what 80.
Yeah.
And yet NHL play by play guys are so much more popular than NBA guys.
But I mean, for me, growing up in Boston and being very, very interested, as you can imagine, in radio at the time, Gil Santos to me was not only the voice of the Patriots, but he also did sports on WBZ, which was my absolute huge influence all through. You know, that was WBZ is pretty much why I decided radio is what I wanted to do. And he started doing Patriots games in 1966, and I have never heard a voice like that guy. And you know, I do those Friday night games in high school, and there's a lot of Gil Santos stuff. Somebody will score a touchdown, and what do I always say? Not that anyone would know this, but but I say, the teams come back up the field to score, and that's a Gil Santos line. And now it's just become a habit. That guy had the smoothest, easiest delivery to listen to on Sunday afternoons I've ever heard.
How long was he the Patriot announcer for?
36 years. 743 games.
And
he died... on his 80th birthday and his 57th wedding anniversary. So only was it tragic to pass, but tragic to pass the way he did and on the date that he did. And you mentioned how many games, 700-plus games that you just said?
743.
Right? I mean, I think about it. I remember being attached to Dave Niehaus, who was the voice, who was the voice of the Mariners.
Yep.
And he passed away
also.
Maybe even 2010 or so. Mm-hmm. But... so 2010,
like he was good.
30 plus years of Mariners baseball, they never won anything.
Yep.
And he did every game except for like 100 in 33 years or whatever it was. I mean, it was amazing just the longevity that some of these guys and women in the business have.
And Tom Cheek, same thing, who started it in Burlington, Vermont, and he ended up being the first voice of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Wow.
He stayed there until his death a few years back. It's amazing, these guys. Once you get in, you never leave. It's an addiction.
And Arnie, you'll know this being out in L.A., but my mom's also from Southern California, and she grew up listening to Chick Hearn.
Yeah, Chick was one of the best.
Yeah, Chick Hearn was the old Lakers broadcaster, so I would grow up hearing stories of Chick Hearn. And Chick Hearn was, he kind of bought in, it sounded like, to the Lakers, to the flavor of the Lakers. And he would say, the mustard is off the hot dog, someone was showboating.
The jello
is like
jiggling.
That.
The eggs are cooling. The jello is jiggling. The butter's getting hard, or the butter's cooling, the eggs are getting hard, something like that. He had his own chickism. It was unbelievable.
And you talk about smooth delivery, smooth voice. This was the last call that Gil Santos ever had when he was signing off. This was after the Patriots' AFC playoff loss to the Ravens a handful of years ago.
And with it has come to a close my 36 years of broadcasting Patriots football. Sorry I don't have one more game for you, but I don't. And so that's going to be, I was hoping, you know, to finish it up at the Super Bowl. Not going to be that way. So in walking away from the microphone and retiring as the voice of the Patriots, I'll just say this. I want to thank the fans who've been so very kind to me over the years. I want to thank Bob Kraft and his family, Bill Belichick, his staff, and his players. Thank them for being so cooperative to me and to our broadcast team over the season. And to all of the previous Patriots coaches and players and owners, thank you very much for allowing me to be the voice of the Patriots for 36 wonderful years. I enjoyed every minute of it. I hope the next guy who does it enjoys it as much as I have, and I hope he realizes it is a privilege and not a job. That's going to take care of it. With the final score, the Baltimore Ravens 28, the Patriots 13. That is it from Foxborough. For Scott Zolak, Mark Capello, Roger Holman, Dennis Knutson, Mike Perry, Wayne Muller, Jim Loth, and Josh Deering, this is Gil Santos thanking you all for 36 wonderful years. Now let's go to Gary Tangway in the CBS.
I thought chills,
Tangway.
Huh?
Absolutely. I mean, listen to that voice.
Really, really good voice.
That was just the soundtrack to my Sundays.
And
he and Gino Cappelletti. And
I was about to say, you see, Eric and Colchester had said, growing up in Boston, we would mute the TV and listen to Gil and Gino.
Absolutely. And they got a little scattered. It was too bad because the last two or three years especially, I always loved this about Gil. He would make mistakes on the call. There was a lot of, he'd be like, touchdown Patriots. Oh, wait, he dropped it. You know, and there'd be a lot of that. And it's radio, so you're not seeing it. But
so you're saying he's the John Sterling of football?
Well, he became that way in the last couple of years, both he and Gino. But he was just so charming about the way he'd go, oh, I'm so sorry. I looked like he had made the catch. But, I mean, you could tell that it was his time, and he stepped away at exactly the right time. It just such a, as I said, a soundtrack to my youth.
And us being the home of the Patriots here locally, Bob Soci is the current voice of the Patriots, and he and I were in contact today. He's going to join us on Monday to talk about Gil Santos, and we'll talk about the Pats, too, as we head towards the draft. But you heard in that clip Gil Santos say, I hope whoever has the job after me appreciates it as much as I did or as much as I have, and we'll have that guy on Monday.
And oh, very cool. Very cool. Very cool.
And he's good.
Yeah, he's very good.
I mean, you talk about pressure.
Yeah.
Congratulations, your new job. You have to succeed Gil Santos in New England. Good luck with that.
Just real quick, you know how like NBA will have like a capologist and figure out money and trades and all that?
A whatologist?
You know, like a capologist.
Oh, cap.
Yeah,
okay.
Capologist. Right. Or like bracketology where they're figuring out and crunching the numbers. On Fox this morning, they had a guy who crunches the scheduling numbers, right? And about like who really has the easiest schedule. I couldn't even begin to tell you the numbers he was throwing out there about how the index is done. I can't even repeat what he said because I couldn't even make sense of it. I mean, my head was swimming, but the bottom line was this. The Patriots actually have the third easiest schedule in the NFL. Wow. And he says going by last year's record is absolutely no indication about how hard it's going to be. But he did say he based his on quarterbacks and yards thrown and offense, and that's how we got the Patriots with the third easiest schedule. I don't know, something like that.
Well, I'm excited for I went through it. I think the game I'm most excited for on the Patriots schedule, I think there's two of them. November 9th at home against Green Bay. The idea of Brady against Rodgers is, I think, thrilling to everybody. That's why the game is on Sunday Night Football.
Plus, they never play each other.
Right, they never play each other. And you know, you think back to the 96 Super Bowl when it was Favre against Bledsoe.
I'd rather not.
Yeah, and Desmond Howard.
So. Yeah, thanks.
And then the other one I'm intrigued by is before that, October 29th, Monday night at Buffalo. Buffalo, who's never on primetime, their fans will tell you about it. They finally make the playoffs. The Bills Mafia, Monday Night Football against the Pats. I think I'm excited for that, too.
By the way, that's the toughest. That's a five-game stretch, four on the road, only home game, Green Bay Packers.
Mm. Yeah.
That will make or break your season right there and then.
For me, it's simple. Same as that this past year, at Pittsburgh, week 15. Yeah. Enough said on that.
Brady, what do we want to get to coming up next? Finish off hour number one.
We'll get a little bit Celtics and Bucks tonight, game three.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of really good stories I read around it.
Next on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. It's a Friday right here at 101.3 ESPN. Lots going on. Brady will have a SportsCenter update in a few minutes. Stick around for that as we get you ready for hour number two. But first, Bruins. How about that? Got Bruins on my mind.
Well, that's okay.
How about the Celtics? Up 2-0 over the Milwaukee Bucks. Is it a big game number three? Only reason I say it's a big game number three, because you win this, you get the sweep. Now you're in position to compete in the Eastern Conference Finals, but you're getting rest and stuff like that. If you have to struggle,
it's not the Eastern Conference Finals, it's the second round.
No, I know, but it's all adds up. You know, because Cleveland had to play an extra game. Philadelphia's already lost one game. They're going to have to play the extra game. I think the Celtics could use the extra rest as they go along through the series.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, in basketball, I think more than any other sport, you want to sit around and watch the other guys play seven-game series. And, I mean, tonight is a pivotal game for one team, and that's the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, I think the Celtics have the best record in the East on the road. So you would think they might be able to come home with a split. Maybe not tonight, but if they can just get a split, they may win it in five. I still think the series is going seven. I'm going to stick with that prediction.
Oh,
I just think the Celtics are going to – Milwaukee's coming out with their hair on fire tonight. They know the implications of losing at home tonight.
Yeah, I don't think tonight is the night the Celtics win, but I also don't think it's going seven. I read two amazing stories around this series. The one on ESPN, which everyone can easily find, is on Jaylen Brown and about how when he was in high school – how he went through depression after losing a game. And it was from that. We've heard a lot about how Jaylen Brown's kind of a renaissance guy. Mm-hmm. He's into a lot of different things. Well, he said when he was growing up, it was only basketball, and his whole self-worth was around being a basketball player. And he lost a state championship game in high school and just totally broke down. And that moment kind of turned his life around into realizing there was more than basketball. That was fascinating. And then a story on former Celtic Jason Terry, who's plays 16 minutes a game for the Bucks.
Oh, JT.
I think he's one of only 27 players ever to play past the age of 40 in the NBA.
Is he 40?
Yeah.
Really?
He went to U of A.
Yeah.
He was there when I was there. No, I'm just kidding.
So he's 40, and it's about how he is working to make his career last. And it's very different than Tom Brady and Zdeno Chara and all these guys who are older and playing at high levels.
Yeah.
Just how they're doing it is very different. It's very fascinating.
Yeah, Jason Terry had a good run. I mean, not only with the Celtics, though.
Everybody.
But,
yeah. Atlanta mainly, Hawks. I remember.
Yeah.
Dallas.
Dallas, yeah, that's the one. I don't know how many years he spent on Dallas. And he really has made the runs.
I bet
you we can
rounds.
Find out a lot more than
He's
that. But
seen
yeah,
it all.
Of Arizona stardom, I certainly remember him and all the great things he did for University of Arizona. Though he fell down, I think it was him that fell down against UNLV, and the guy hit a three-pointer to make us lose the game right before the Final
of
Four.
Course,
right
the there. One thing you remember. Yeah. If you had been playing, that wouldn't have happened.
He actually played 8 years in Dallas.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Five in Atlanta, two in Houston, two in Milwaukee, one in Boston, one in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he's a maverick. Wow. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Jason Terry is a maverick. Hour one in the books. Brady with that sports update. We'll get you ready for hour number two coming next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball.
Ouch!
Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, everybody. Good afternoon. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We're all here. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. I'm going to be going to L.A. on Wednesday for a couple weeks. A little bit excited about that. It's been a couple of years since I've been to Los Angeles, and the nice good weather.
You seem like an LA kind of guy.
I am an LA type of guy. I'm going to check out, I'm going to wear my new Speedos.
I disagree.
No, that's not what I meant. I was talking more about traffic jams and smog and obnoxious people.
Brady, will you put up the pictures of me in my thong bathing suit up on the website when I get out there? I'm going to take some selfies. And
don't even know how to work yourself.
Well, I'm just going to frolic around a little bit.
Frolic.
Yes, I'm just going to frolic
gross.
Around the.
So gross.
Why is that gross?
That's just disgusting.
Could you just see me frolicking around Venice Beach?
I can right now, and I'm about to rush to the bathroom, so please stop.
I picture you like Borat in the lime green one piece.
Is that what? I got to show off my hairy chest and back. So
yeah, that's what Borat is.
I didn't know that. I'm not a bit Borat.
All those listeners were trying to build up, and you just got rid of them all in 5 seconds.
Are you coming out or not? I said you
to
guys.
What, LA?
Yeah, you could stay with me. I got a whole condo. You could.
I'm looking at the Borat Speedo.
Oh, I got to get myself one of those.
That's the most
disgusting. I got to get that. Come out, tell me. We'll do the show from LA. People will love it. They'll want to hear us in LA. We'll go to Grauman's Chinese Theater. We'll go to Disneyland.
I want to go to Fat Sal's Deli.
Fat Sal's Deli.
That's in Hollywood.
We'll go over the place. We'll have a blast.
Well, you seem to fit into the L.A. scene. I don't know if I could possibly last 10 minutes in a place like that.
Why?
Because it's too loud and glitzy and crazy.
It's very
for
glitzy.
Me.
Very sparkly.
And
very
everybody's
glitzy.
Perfect and rich.
Yes,
and
we are.
Just not my crowd.
We are perfect. Yes.
We are perfect.
We are perfect.
You don't strike me as an L.A. type.
Really? I did stick out like a sore thumb in L.A., you, especially being from New York.
You feel like...
Very out of place.
Detroit to me.
I could be a Detroit guy, Cleveland guy. There's no doubt about that.
How about Moncton? You've seen
Moncton,
more
of
no, I'm a Moncton guy.
I go to L.A., and when I play pickup basketball there, I'm already like, they're like, dude, calm down, because I'm screaming. I'm like, hey, that's a foul. It's like, calm down, dude. Relax. This is L.A. We're all chill out
This
here.
Isn't the Williston Central School.
Yeah, this is not Williston Central School, right. For crying out loud. But it's very laid back until you get on the freeways. Yeah. And then it's like, charge.
Well, no, it isn't. Not when I've ever been out there. It's not charged. It's a parking lot.
It is a park, but you got to maneuver in and out.
Now, what
and
did
cut
you tell,
people off.
What did you tell me the other day? Your mother or mother-in-law or somebody had to go 2 hours
oh,
to
my
go
brother.
8 miles?
It took him an hour and 15 to an hour and 30 minutes to go 8.5 miles.
Can you imagine going an hour and 15 minutes, 8 miles?
Yeah. You could run, I think you could run faster than that.
Why not just get out
no,
and
I'm
walk?
No, I'm serious. You could run I think you should be able to run 8 miles.
But the reason I bring that up is because nobody thinks of that as weird out there. That's a very typical occurrence.
You know what's so funny is you'll spend 30 minutes maneuvering around instead of waiting just 10 minutes to get through the line. You're like, yeah, I'm going this way, I'm going that way.
And people choose to live there.
Oh, and it's expensive as hell.
Oh, yeah.
If I told you, I'll pull up a listing my real quick, and then we'll get to the show. My brothers are listing a house. It's a two-bedroom house, one bathroom in like a terrible part of town. But you can have it for $1.4 million. So knock yourself out. Brady, by the way, you doing a little cooking tonight, my friend, or last night? What happened?
No, last night I helped make dinner.
Uh-oh.
I am...
You're very proud of yourself about
this. Yes, because...
Is Jess still upright?
Because I am so useless in the kitchen.
Wow.
And like, I would like to get useful, mainly because she's such a good cook. I don't want her to have to make a meal every night because otherwise it'd just be takeout and turkey sandwiches.
Your middle
for me.
Name's Emeril, though.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Do you know my middle name?
Emeril.
No. Do you actually know my middle name?
No, I have no idea. I barely know your first name.
Okay.
I barely know your last name.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll keep my middle name a secret.
Oh, can you give us a letter and I'll guess?
K.
Kevin.
No.
Ken.
No.
Are you not going to go through every one, are you?
Well, there aren't that many.
Yeah, the K's off name, off letter.
Kmart.
They can guess my middle name on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672.
Because mine is Lyman. I know.
Richard Lyman Haskell?
Yes.
Is that a family name?
It's some sort of distant cousin, and I don't appreciate it much.
I was going to say, before we made fun of it, is it a family name?
Yeah.
So.
Rich will be changing his middle name, suggestions on the Town Fair Tire text line. He'll be doing that immediately.
What is yours?
Mine's Elliot. E-L-L-I-O-T-T.
Arnold Elliott Spanier.
Couldn't get any worse than that.
Why didn't you just go by Elliott?
I should have. Believe me, in the long run, I should have.
So,
no doubt about that.
Yeah, so we made empanadas. And
what's that?
It's a
town in California.
No, it's a...
it is.
I've been to Empanada. They have a beautiful downtown.
Escondido.
Ground beef inside like a burrito, kind of. But that's
so,
kind
you,
of a,
so you made burritos?
No, and also made chicken fajita pasta. And salad.
So
I cut up the vegetables like nobody else.
I'm trying to figure out what exactly you did in the cooking process because, like, what
I browned the ground beef. That was number one.
That's not that tough.
I boiled.
I could boil the water.
I cooked the pasta.
Okay.
Ooh.
And I but like this is she had to tell me what sauté was. Like,
I don't even know what that means.
Okay, exactly. So don't make fun of me.
Oh my goodness, I'm like the cooking guru here between the three of us. It's crazy.
It's not saying much.
Yeah.
I chopped up the vegetables and helped sauté them. So and I helped make sure the empanadas were enclosed so that the ground beef filling didn't fall out.
You really are worthless around the kitchen.
Yes.
Huh? Wow.
There's nothing I can say about being worthless in a kitchen because all I do is throw pasta into a boiling pot 7 nights a week.
Do you have pasta every night?
Yeah. I don't know how to cook anything. I mean, I love a cheeseburger every now and then.
I lied about Elliot. My middle name is Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah. All right. Mike in Swanton says Kyle.
That is right.
Hey!
Oh, someone said Kiefer. Oh, that is my wife that said Kiefer.
Kiefer?
So it's
my Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, is not. It is
Kyle?
In fact, Kyle.
Mike and Swanton. Good job,
Do you
buddy.
Know Mike and Swanton?
I do not.
How did he guess it?
There's only so many K names.
I mean, how many Ks are there?
When you get rid of Ken, Kevin, and Kiefer, Carl,
Carney?
How many really are there? All What's right. the worst middle name that any of our listeners have?
Elliot.
Yeah, I would like to hear that.
Yeah. What's the worst middle name? If you hate your middle name, what is it?
I guess the only one that comes to mind is Harry S. Truman, and S didn't stand for anything.
Richard.
it was just S.
I have one friend with the middle name Donald. He's not a fan of that.
No, that's a horrible name.
And I have one that's Herbert.
That's a bad one.
Too. Herbert.
So.
Yeah, that's horrible. That was my wife's father's name, Herbert.
Really?
Yep. Herbert and Seymour. That was our father's names. Can they get any worse than that? Herbert and Seymour.
What was your wife's maiden name?
My wife's Lansky.
So
I had to think about that for a second.
Herbert Lansky?
Yes, Herbert Lansky.
That sounds appropriate.
That sounds so
good.
Bronx.
It sounds so 1910.
That's Bronx, like that. Yeah, man. Did he own his own pharmaceutical shop
that's
or something?
So Buffalo. And, there you go.
And Bedford Stuyvesant, although I think that's in Brooklyn. But anyway.
All right, Brady, get to everybody what's going on this week, the mistake of the day. Tell everybody what's happening on Tuesday and Wednesday and all that.
Tuesday next week, trivia night, Burger Bar in Colchester. Wednesday, live from the UPS store, 4 Carmichael Street in Essex. The mistake of the day is still up for grabs.
Yeah, come on now.
Get a qualifier at the end of the day, and then we'll get our winner at the end of the show as well. Mistake of the Day is brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms, and that's where you're going to get that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap from if you win.
Yep.
Helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. Now, it's somebody's birthday today, Arnie.
It's not my birthday.
420. What a perfect day for a birthday.
It's not your birthday?
No, whose birthday is it?
It's Fenway Park's birthday.
Oh, Fenway Park's birthday, 106 years. Is that what it's been around?
Since 1912.
Yeah. 1912.
Yeah, it was right after the Titanic.
So Rich, you're the ballpark expert.
Okay.
So how many points, first of all, how many ballparks have you been to? Brady, are you? You're not major.
I've been to at least 10.
I've been to all but 9 in the majors.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So give me your top three real quick, and I'll bring the top three.
Top, my favorite one I've been to is PNC Park in Pittsburgh. I think we did this about a month ago, but anyway.
I've never been to that
one. Oh, it's stunning. Stunning. Skyline and the bridge across.
Oh, it's by the water.
There.
So yeah. It's by the football stadium?
It's right
stadium?
Next to the Steelers
okay,
field.
Okay, that's what I was going
to say. It's absolutely
I've
stunning.
I've seen the pictures when they go to the, when they show it from over above. And they show
unbelievable.
That.
Yeah. Not a bad seat in the place. Great modern throwback. The second one is San Francisco, AT&T Park. It's
I've been
stunning.
There. I've been there, very beautiful, but expensive as hell, tough to get a
well,
ticket.
It is San Francisco.
Yeah.
Everything's expensive in the Bay.
You got a third one?
Oh, I'm trying to think of a nice place.
I see Fenway's not on that list there,
Camden Yards.
Yeah.
It's the original retro. It started the whole retro craze.
Brady, how's the dome? Up in Seattle.
That
dome.
Doesn't exist.
It's I know, a but parking
how,
lot, isn't
I
it?
I know. How was the dome?
Oh, it was
that
great.
Was,
I
that
loved
was
it.
Safeco Field. Right, Safeco Field?
Well, no, that still exists.
Oh, well, what was it before
Let's
that?
The Kingdom.
The Kingdom. That's what it was. That place was rocking, man.
Buhner.
I love that place.
I love the Kingdom. Everyone told me it was a dump, but I will maintain
really?
It was the greatest place ever.
I thought it was awesome. How's Safeco now, though?
Safeco is beautiful. Yes. I've been there one time, so... Safeco, Angel Stadium, although I was aided by the fact that I was sitting 8 rows behind home plate, so that was great.
Angel Stadium's is a little too much for me. They've got all the restaurants and all the different foods. And
yeah, I liked it.
Isn't it next to Disneyland? I mean, isn't it a stone's throw from Disneyland?
It's not far.
In Anaheim?
Yeah, it's not far.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're all in Anaheim. Yeah.
And Petco Park in San Diego is phenomenal.
That's nice. I've been to that one also.
Been there a couple times.
I've been to that one
nice.
Too.
Although it's impossible to hit a ball out of there.
Yes. You guys have been to Dodger Stadium?
I have.
I have not.
You don't like Dodger Stadium is remarkable to me. I love Dodger Stadium.
I loved it. I thought
it's a little old. But
the sunset in the back with the Hollywood sign and all that, I thought that was great. No, I really enjoyed Dodger Stadium. I saw a great game there, too. I had awful seats, but that didn't really matter all that much. But I didn't get to experience Dodger Stadium in the way that you probably would want to. I was in the upper deck right over the handrail, afraid it was going to fall over the whole time. So I saw the Braves and the Dodgers.
The worst, I think the worst is where, I forget the name of it, where the White Sox play.
I have been there. Yeah. It was U.S. Cellular. Now it's some other corporate name.
You get the head spins up there if you go away. I'm afraid to walk up and down those damn steps. I'm not kidding around. That's a harsh place.
I will say this. One of my greatest fears, honestly, one of my biggest phobias is sitting at a ballpark and sitting in that first row with the rail there. Right. I am so terrified of reaching over for a foul ball and falling over. That is absolutely a real phobia. It's not a joke. I'm not embellishing it. I will not willingly buy a seat that's in the first row over the rail right there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't reach over, but I kind of know what you're talking about there. Yeah, I kind of get that phobia
I
also.
I always think these people who spend $500 for a seat in the front row of the Green Monster seats, 37-foot drop straight down.
Oh, you mean when they're...
Yeah, the front row of the monster seats at Fenway.
Wow. That's how much it is?
No, I'm saying it's expensive as hell.
I'm like, that can't be that much.
But that, you wouldn't be... I bet it is.
That 37-foot drop onto the warning track is far better for you than the potential drop out of the upper deck down to the first deck.
Onto three people who are enjoying a beer and popcorn.
What stadium where was the guy that leaned over, like you were worried, and fell on the net or something like that behind home plate?
Remember I don't remember.
What
talking about? Yeah. There have been
or he jumped. I don't even know what it was.
There have been fatalities from people who have done that. I remember, I want to say in Texas.
It was Texas. It was awful because the father of the kid was right there when it happened, and his father was the one who fell over.
It's absolutely, I will not buy a seat in the front row of, you know, the upper deck.
My wife just texted, first row phobia. I wonder if there's such a thing. We'll have to make that for trivia night. Kevin in Plattsburgh, have you guys been to Toronto? I've been to Toronto.
I have not.
That is a beautiful place.
It is.
That is gorgeous.
Yeah. As long as there's no ice falling off of the CN Tower. Well, yeah.
And as long as you don't leave the curtains open when you have a hotel room like that one couple did. And, you know, and people could see through the room and see what they were doing in there.
That wins the worst traffic of any park to me. Just anything around Toronto, the traffic is a nightmare up there.
It is hideous, but I mean, you could park and walk. It's because it's like a downtown area.
Yeah, we started this conversation about Fenway.
Yeah,
106th birthday. I've been to Fenway. I want to say probably 5 or 6 times.
I've never been.
You've never been.
Never been.
Really?
You have to go.
I've never been.
I've been probably 5 or 6 times. I went last year and saw them play the Mariners. I like Fenway. Oh, Citi Field was awesome. By the way, I forgot that.
For the Mets,
Citi Field was great.
It is great. Yeah.
That was a fun night. I'll just put it that way. I remember City. It was my buddy's bachelor party.
I've been to Shea, but I've not been to City Field.
So we were out on the. It was the Pepsi porch. Now it's the Coke porch. But they
across were Shea Bridge.
They were playing the Pirates. So that was that was a lot of fun. But Fenway, I found it. I love it because of the historical. But there's really not.
So it's like Wrigley, really not much to it.
The seats are uncomfortable.
Horrible.
The seats are close together. My knees were, being as tall as I am, my knees were in my chest the entire time.
And none of them are pointed at home plate.
And,
I
didn't
behind home plate.
Yeah, and it's just, with those steel beams in the way, you get your view obstructed a good amount.
Yeah. I've seen that at Wrigley, too. No, Sydney goes with Wrigley.
Let's face it, Fenway gets away with what they get away with because of its history. That's what it is. It's the little bandbox built in the neighborhood down in the Fenway section, you know, of Boston. And I mean, it's about now that I've seen just about all the other parks and certainly seen tons of the very modern, beautiful minor league parks.
Yeah.
You realize that Fenway really is inconvenient and incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But you don't care because you're sitting at Fenway. I think most people who go to Fenway go like once a year.
Yes.
Hey, look at me. I'm at Fenway. And my seat is facing the left field wall, and my neck is already killing me, and it's only the second inning. But I don't care because I'm at Fenway.
Kevin in Colchester, I've been in the front row of the Monster, and if you're afraid of heights, I wouldn't recommend it.
No, it seems bad. I'm not reaching over for any home runs.
No, I've seen people spill their beer over, though, because they put it right there. It was like a little shelf or something there that you put your food and your beer.
I've seen
people knock their stuff all the time.
I can barely go over a bridge. I'm not sitting on a 37-foot ledge.
Yeah, I don't like going over bridges either. I've gotten a little better about that, but there was a real stretch of time where I didn't like driving over bridges either. Like at all. Now I can do it, but I'm not going to look to my right or left.
Yeah, my parents, when I was a kid, they'd say, all right, bridge in a mile. And so I duck underneath in the back seat. I just hated them, and I still do. There's nothing I can do about it now. I got to drive over them.
Yeah.
I
don't mind the sandbar bridge. That's a nice one. Yeah. It's about 5 feet off the water.
So going to Rouse's Point, that's a big bridge.
Not too bad. It's modern.
Yeah.
It's wide. I don't mind that one too
much. What about the George Washington Bridge?
Awful.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Like the GW Bridge?
And the Wilmington, Delaware Bridge? Terrifying.
But the GW Bridge has two levels.
Yeah, terrifying. I went over it a couple months ago.
The Brooklyn Bridge.
Those aren't that's not bad, but it's just the real high ones that scare me.
Well, there's one in the Florida Keys. I think it's 7 Mile
Well, the one from Tampa to St. Pete's, not too bad because it's pretty low most of the way.
Yeah, it's low, but there's nothing around you. It's kind of a little freaky on something like that. No doubt about that one. So happy birthday to Fenway. Been around 106 years. So there you go. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
We'll talk about the NHL's playoff format. Is it good to not have a traditional one?
Oh, and plus we got power play. We dumped it down to epic proportions. No fooling around. Blah. It's a good one, though. It's a really good one.
It is.
You'll love it. So that's coming up in about how many minutes from now, Brady?
About 20.
20. So there you go. That's coming up all next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
I remember now we're about 15 minutes away from power play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. We dumbed it down, epic proportions. And what's in the prize vault today, Brady? Do we know? Have we taken a look at what's in the prize vault?
I haven't looked yet, but I know that there's lots of good stuff
you
in
keep
there.
It under lock and key. I do not like that. I wish you would leave the prize vault open.
Well, because I opened it up and there were Red Sox tickets once.
Ah, I know that. How about that?
If you know they're there, you're going to steal them and go to Fenway.
Some of Arnie's Speedos, I believe, are up for grabs.
Yeah,
this week.
I've rummaged through the prize vault. There's some interesting stuff in there. So.
There's a lot of free stuff going into my driveway this weekend at the house. If you just want to drive by, there's all kinds of goodies to pick through.
You having a garage sale?
Not really. We're just basically putting everything that is in my house and putting it in the driveway and saying, please take this away.
Because you're moving, not out of the area. You're just moving. You're getting a different place of living.
Right. I have lived in like a 2,000 square foot house in Jericho for the last 10 years or whatever, and it's just preposterous. It's just, I can't do it.
You should get a tiny house.
What I'm going to do is get one, but it won't be called a tiny house.
You should get a tiny house. That tiny house is the one that was all the fad, where you get it and you can attach it to a trailer. You can put it in one spot where it's like it's between 300 and 800 square feet.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's what I'm looking for anyway.
Seriously, you should get a shed.
Okay.
Like a garden shed. Insulate it and get some power to it, and that's where you should live.
Bingo. I only have 5 items.
I want to move.
Wow.
I want to get out of Williston.
Out of the box in a field?
I want to go to Scottsdale. But no, besides that, I want to go to like South Hero or something.
Oh, yeah good nice luck with that. Find one of those lakefront estates. I wish I'd invested in one of those 40 years ago.
Yeah. Ooh. It's too expensive for me.
Yeah.
I need to buy a fixer-upper. Horrible.
Yeah, because you're so handy.
Yeah, I'm so handy. I can barely take
a hammer. That's like Brady starting a cooking show. Yeah.
You should. I used to watch Tiny House Hunters on the.
I've seen that too.
What's that network where
HGTV? Yes, yeah.
Yes. I used to watch that. All the time.
I watch all those shows. That would
do
be
you really
for you? Yes, I do.
You watch Flipper Flop?
I've seen that and the
Property Brothers.
I've seen them. Those two knuckleheads. Also, I used to
watch Flipper Flop before Tarek and Christina got divorced.
There's so many other ones that go on there. Also, you know,
there's like Flipper Flop Vegas now, and
those guys are idiots. The ones in Vegas too, they're morons. I watch all those. I flip on that all the time. All right, the NHL. Like I told you, I was watching Capitals last night. Also,
wow, what a game!
2-2. Who would have thought that that'd come back after dropping the first two?
Yeah,
but
all four away teams have won the games.
Well, we were talking about this with Matthew Ross in hour one of TSN 690 in Montreal. And we were talking about, so if the Bruins win and if the Lightning win, the Bruins and Lightning are going to play each other in the in the second round of the playoffs, basically in the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Yeah.
And if they were seeded traditionally in the way the NBA does it, that would be your 1-2 seeds playing each other in the second round. And you asked him the question, is that good for the NHL to have your 1-2 seeds playing that early and not maybe seeing each other in the Eastern Conference Finals? And I thought we should take it one to the text line and two to you guys.
Well, I don't like it. So in other words, if New Jersey suddenly comes back and wins the next 3 games and the Bruins win game 5 tomorrow night, the Bruins are playing New Jersey in the next round? I mean, I'm looking at the brackets right here, and it looks like that would be the case. So
you have to get out of your division first.
But the thing is New Jersey isn't in the Bruins division. It's in the Metropolitan Division. So I understand the wild card. It's just weird because New Jersey is the wild card, the second wild card, I believe. But that would take you out of the division for the second round.
There were 5 teams from the Metropolitan Division that made the playoffs and only 3 from the Atlantic.
So that messes things up a little bit. So.
If it were 4-4, it could be the same way. Look, I understand it. And if I'm you as a Bruins fan, I would hate this because
I don't want Tampa in the second round.
You look and say we should be seeing this team in the Eastern Conference Finals, absolutely, potentially, not in the second round. But I will say, it does make the regular season a little more interesting in that there's some different playoff scenarios up for grabs because teams can fight for certain seeds in the playoffs that they, you know, if they would be locked into the 7 or 8 seed, they can get a little bit higher up in this new format. And as Matthew Ross told us, it does create some more interdivisional rivalries. We already have some natural rivalries, okay, Boston and Canadiens, but maybe Boston and Tampa can become a rivalry that the NHL can market.
Why would it be any better to play Washington? Why? I'm just saying, not for this year, but why is it better for the NHL not to have them play the number one seed in their own division instead of playing the number one seed in the other division? Why is that not a
goal? Not even that. It's not even that. I think the other option is like the NBA, where you seed them 1 through 8, regardless of their division.
One through 16. But
1 versus 8, 2 versus 7.
They want to change that, though. Because the NBA has problems, but they want to change their way. The NHL doesn't want to go to a way that the NBA wants to change.
And that's true, too. Yeah. So I don't like it because it's so far from the norm. And if you are, and like the Maple Leafs will be a 4 seed if this thing were seeded 1 through 8. And they have a good high propensity of getting bounced here, in the a high chance of getting bounced in the first round. I'd be livid if I were a fan of the Maple Leafs or a player on the Maple Leafs that I finish as a 4 seed. In theory, but yet I end up playing what is the 2 seed just because they're in my division. But it does create some early round drama, which you don't always get.
And remember that last game of the season, the makeup against Florida with the Bruins because of the snow out and all the drama. Oh, they could win the Eastern Conference. This is a huge game. The whole season rides on this game. No, it wouldn't have. All it would have meant is a difference in opponents in the first round because the Bruins and Tampa would still meet in the second round, regardless of the outcome of that game.
If they want to do it this way, you know, where you're getting out of your own division, wouldn't it have been better to stick with the 3 divisions than go to 2 divisions in each conference? You understand what I'm saying?
I like the way the NHL set up, though.
Just brought up the NBA, Brady. They're, what, 3 divisions?
They are 3 divisions.
So why is 3 divisions? I don't even know the pros and cons of 3 divisions compared to 2 divisions. But if the NHL is trying to set up divisional rivalry, you would think they would want more divisions. And the NHL, I thought, thrived when they had 3 divisions in each conference. And,
you know, that's not too much of a reach because the fact that there are 8 teams in each division, that's a lot for a major pro sport. That's a lot. You talk about trying to develop these interdivision rivalries, it's a little tough when you've got 7 other teams that you're trying to set that up
for. And the problem is the bottom feeders on these things, bottom of the 8 in the conference, the 8 in the division, they don't have a chance to climb their way up. But if you have 3 divisions and you're in the bottom or the second to the bottom of your division, you could climb your way up 1 or 2 spots to maybe make a playoff run. So it gets more teams alive. At least that's the way I'm thinking mathematically.
I think they think there's more teams alive like this because,
No.
5 teams from the Metropolitan Division got in.
But Buffalo and Ottawa, they had no chance to get on in. You knew at the very beginning, and I know they were bad teams, but if you went to 3 divisions, it would be easier to climb on up than try to get through 7 teams or even 5 teams to get into a playoff. It's easier if you had 3 divisions. At least I think it is. I'm not sure.
And in the Western Division, it probably is going to work out because the last thing you want to see is Nashville and Vegas in the second round. They have been separated because they were both number 1 seeds. The problem in the East is that Boston is a 2 seed, while Washington is a 1 seed from their division. So you're going to run into the 1 and 2. And this is going to happen all the time because there's going to be a lot of times when the 1 and 2 teams from a conference are in the same division. There's only 2 divisions per conference.
The thing I think that the NHL also likes is that in theory this would give you some more competitive early round playoff series, whereas in the NBA, we've all penciled in, for the most part, Golden State over San Antonio. We all had it penciled in Houston over Minnesota, and it just almost seemed like a formality in these series, whereas in the NHL now, you have a series that we thought going into it could go either way between the Bruins and the Maple Leafs, and there was some real intrigue there early, as opposed to the NBA, where I feel like we just want to fast forward to the Eastern and Western Conference Finals.
I'm still not sure what the benefit is of having the first 3 in each conference and then taking the 2 wild cards. I'm not sure why they do it that way. I don't know if it makes a difference if you just took each division winner and had the next 6 best records after that. I don't know if it would have made any difference in the playoffs. So, I mean, like I told you what happened at Fox, guys that make the schedule and stuff like that and figure all the stuff out with divisions, and it is, you think just by going, what did they do last year? That's got to be what, it is so way above my head. I can't even repeat how they, the way they figure this
stuff
out.
And really, honestly, from the East, if I'm a Bruins fan, which I am, I mean, I wouldn't want Washington. The Bruins, when's the last time the Bruins beat Washington in any hockey game? It was a long time ago. I mean, they never beat the Capitals, even in the playoffs. I don't want anything to do with Pittsburgh in the playoffs, especially Sidney Crosby. So really, Tampa is just as good as the Capitals and Pittsburgh, as far as I'm concerned, as a Bruins fan.
All right, now that you got to be completely crazy, Tampa is the next round. I just want to make sure.
Well, it would be if they win their series and the Bruins win theirs, yes.
And Tampa's up 3 games.
Either way, it's going to be either Tampa, New Jersey, Boston, or Toronto playing each other in the next round. One of those four teams will play each other.
Yeah.
Two of those four teams. There'll be a quiz in 10 minutes.
Yeah, because I just completely forgot. I'm still trying to remember that Tampa might be the next round. I just stopped there. Everything else is one ear and out the other. All right, coming up next, Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. And we dumbed it down, people. We did. I have the questions right here. The intern didn't even know who number one was. Like, never heard of the person.
That's not good.
No, that's not good. But
how is it dumbed down if you've never heard of number one? Is it from 1920 and he's 17?
No, he pitches this year.
And you've never heard? He's looking at you like, what?
I know, he's mad at me. Let me give you the three possible answers because I want to get people to line up now in case they think it's too hard. Red Sox, Yankees, or both. Red Sox, Yankees, or both will give you a name of a player. All you have to do is tell us if they played for the Yankees, for the Red Sox, or for both. That's really how easy it is.
Yeah.
Like if I said Judge, you would say?
Well, so far, only Yankees.
You are so good at this game. You're so good. So get in now. What are you waiting for? 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. Power Play. The new and exciting game sweeping the country. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
If you think what Arnie says on the show is irritating, you should hear him during the commercial break. It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Why do we got one line open for Power Play? The new and exciting game sweep of the country, Red Sox, Yankees, or both? Red Sox, Yankees, or both? It's that tough? I mean, but really, people, you're Red Sox fans, and there's Yankee fans out there. 802-655-6672.
Yeah, I looked at this, and this is winnable.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get a winner here.
All right, let me tell you how we play the game. We ask you a question. You get that question wrong, you'll hear this. And we move on. If you say, wait a minute, you're going too fast, we don't care, you'll hear this. And we move on. If you come on the air and go, wait a minute, you guys got question four wrong, we don't care. And you'll still hear this.
Question five sometimes.
All right, we don't care that either. You'll still hear this. And we move on. If you get a question right, we'll ask you another. If you get all 10 questions right, we open up the prize vault. Brady will take a bunch of stuff out, and we pass it along. The three possible answers, Yankees, Red Sox, or both. Yankees, Red Sox, or both. We'll give you a name. You just tell us that they play for the Yankees, Red Sox, or both. So, Brady, if I said to you, Mookie Betts, you would say what?
Red Sox.
Okay. He's so good at this game.
Never missed a question.
He never missed a question.
Keep it that way.
Rich, if I said to you, let me ask a tough one.
Chris Chambliss.
Aaron Judge.
Oh, yeah.
Think about this. Think about,
last time I checked, he was a New York Yankee.
Wow! Okay, we can get you on this one, Brady. You better think about this one. Babe Ruth.
Both.
What? People, do you see how easy? Do we still have a line open?
No.
It worked.
I'm thinking maybe somebody hung up and go, that's too tough for me.
You're very persuasive.
Yankees, Red Sox, both. Yankees, Red Sox, or both. So, without further ado, it is time for Power Play. We'll get a winner right off the bat. Right off the bat.
I think it will take four calls.
Four calls?
Yes.
One call.
Last week, the first caller got half of them right.
Yes. Yeah.
Really set the scene.
Let's start with Jay in Brandon. Is that where he is?
Brandon, Vermont.
Jay, are you ready for Power Play?
Hell yeah, let's do this.
What are the three answers, Jay?
What's that?
What are the three answers?
Yankees, Red Sox, or both.
Confidence level very high with him.
He sounds
got the attitude,
confident.
He's ready to roll. Here we go. Bartolo Colon. Okay,
Confidence level very high.
This is not the final Jeopardy question where Alex Trebek goes, sports. We'll be back after this. And then you get like 4 minutes of commercials And they said, Rich, I hear you climbed the Himalayas. Tell us about that. You don't get that long, people. You don't get that long. Red Sox, Yankees, or both. Red Sox, Yankees, or both. 802-655-6672. Who's next up, Brady?
Elliot in Burlington.
Oh, Elliot in Burlington. Elliot, are you ready for power play?
Hey, fellas, sure.
What are the? You don't even sound very confident. Elliot, what are the three possible answers?
Yankees, Red Sox, or as it stands, Panama, Las Medias Rojas, or both.
He's speaking Spanish.
Oh, that was
confidence
great.
Level still very low.
I have no idea what he said.
Yeah, but
okay.
Still very low. Here we go. Bartolo Colon.
Yankees.
I don't know if we don't get a winner today, I'm not going to play this game anymore. It's too easy.
You're going to move to L.A. for two weeks.
It's too easy for you guys to screw this up, to be honest with you. I mean, you don't even know what's in the prize vault. It could be something so fantastic, and you're just choking it away. Brady, who's up next?
Evan.
Evan, are you ready for power play?
Yes, I am.
All right, Evan, what are the three possible answers?
Red Sox and Yankees.
Or both.
Or both.
Or both.
Oh, confidence level very low. Very low. All right, here we go. Bartolo Colon.
Both.
Nice.
Coco Crisp.
Red Sox.
David Arzma.
Oh.
Yankees.
Oh, we got him.
David Arzma?
I had to make sure I was reading that one.
Wow.
I thought he was going to get it. I didn't know if he had his dad near him. He's looking at baseball cards, video games. I don't know what he was doing.
I don't know David Arzma.
He was a former closer for the Mariners.
Yeah. Wow.
He's good, too.
Opens up a line, 802.
The first name in the baseball glossary.
I think somebody just hung up after hearing that name. They're like, hell no. 802-655-6672. We have somebody else up ready? Who's next up?
No.
Oh,
right
my
now.
Goodness. Phone line's open.
You scared him with David Arzma.
Red Sox, Yankees are both, and we have lines open. Are you serious? I mean, I gave you Bartolo Colon and Coco Crisp. I mean, you're David Arzma. I've given you three. Is it that tough?
That's the toughest one out of the ten, I think.
And here's the thing. Every player that we have on this list is from at least 1990 or later.
Wow.
Like, I didn't give Oil Can Boyd, who was a choice I thought about.
Would did he ever play for the Yankees? I don't think he did.
No, I think he was just a Red Sox.
Yeah.
Oil Can Boyd. Expos.
He
was an Expo. One of the strangest guests we ever had on this show.
Oil Can Boyd?
Oh, was he out there.
Who was the weirdest guest you've ever had, Arnie?
Oh.
Or maybe the worst guest. I don't know if it's weirdest, but.
Ralph Nader.
Because it was just an off interview, or was just, he was just weird?
Just me talking to him. You know, two people couldn't be further apart. I've had Jesse Jackson on before. That was very awkward.
Wow.
Yeah, we're yelling at each other.
Lucas in Fairfax.
Lucas in Fairfax. Lucas, what are the three possible answers?
Yankees, Red Sox, or both. I'll give it a shot.
Wow. I think Lucas is going to win.
Confidence level high until he said, I'll give it a shot. Now it went right down the tubes. Bartolo Colon.
Both.
Coco Crisp.
Red Sox.
David Arzma.
Both.
Nice.
Carlos Baerga.
Both.
Oh. Yeah, I remember Carlos Baerga.
Well, he had a couple of big years in the Indians.
I remember Carlos Baerga big time.
He had some huge numbers in Cleveland.
I don't think I remember number five, though, to be honest with you.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah. Doug in Hinesburg.
Doug, are you ready for power play?
Sure. Let's give it a try.
All right, Doug, what are the three possible answers?
Red Sox, Yankees, or both.
Well, you got that part right. I'm happy about that. Bartolo Colon.
Yankees.
Well.
We had four people get that right.
I mean, that's unexcusable.
That's inexcusable.
That's unexcusable.
That too. That's unexcusable.
That's unexcusable.
That's not a word, unexcusable?
420.
Is that not a word?
You've had a good day.
Look that up. That's not a word?
Unexcusable?
If it's not, I want to patent it and make it my own.
All right, I'll look.
Unexcusable is not a word?
Inexcusable.
You
want to? Can there two be two words?
Do you want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
Dave won tickets from us to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
We were doing a couple weeks ago, April 7th. Oil Can Boyd was doing a free signing there.
How great. 802-655-6672.
I just looked up unexcusable and it said, did you mean inexcusable? So that answers your
question. No, I meant unexcusable.
There is no such word.
Josh is on the line.
Should be. Josh, are you ready for power play?
Yes, sir.
What are the three answers, Josh?
Red Sox, Yankees or both?
This is not my friend Josh that we play basketball with that travels all the time that's not good in basketball. Is it?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I guess he would know if he played with
don't
you.
Don't you know if you play against him?
All right, here we go. Bartolo Colon.
Both.
Coco Crisp.
Red Sox.
David Arzma.
Yankees.
Aren't listening to the earlier callers.
We've given that answer out five times already. That's what makes this game harder than it has to be, because they don't hear the answers.
You have to be listening and maybe just have a pen in your hand.
That opens up a line. No, that way you're driving. 802-655-6672. Mark, are you ready for power play?
Sure am.
Wow, attitude. I love it. What are the three possible answers, Mark?
Yankees, Red Sox, and both.
Oh, we're getting a winner now. We're getting a winner.
Nah.
Coco Crisp.
Both.
You're terrible. You're switching the order.
I let him wait like a half hour. I thought maybe Brady just disconnected him for a second.
It's like, oh, no, this is so sad. We're not getting a winner. And then he changes the order.
The funny part is he thought about it for a long time.
You're a horrible
person. And
he's
still
got you're awful.
Scott.
Scott.
How do you sleep at night?
Scott, are you ready for power play?
Absolutely.
All right, what are the three answers, Scott?
Red Sox, Yankees, or both?
All right, speak up a little bit. Here we go. Bartolo Colon.
Both.
Coco Crisp.
Red Sox.
David Arzma.
Both.
Yes.
Carlos Baerga.
Red Sox.
Nice.
Bubba Crosby.
Yankees.
Wow.
Ooh. Raul Ibanez.
Both.
Oh, that was the easiest one of the 10.
No, he would have got number 7 right.
Oh, yeah.
Number 7 was Ricky Henderson.
But he got Bubba Crosby.
Yeah.
Right. Who the hell is Bubba
I don't know.
Crosby?
I have no. That's why I said I don't think I know number 5.
Bubba Crosby. Played for the Tigers also.
All right.
I do remember that. I know a Bubba Crosby for the Tigers.
Yes. Last one, Matt.
Uh-oh. Matt, are you ready for power play?
Yeah, let's do it.
What are the three answers?
Red Sox, Yankees, or both?
Bartolo Colon.
Both.
Coco Crisp.
Red Sox.
David Arzma.
Both.
Carlos Baerga.
Oh, crap. Yankees.
Oh.
I was going to accept crap, but that wasn't one of the three answers. All right, let's go through the answers. Bartolo Colon, both there. How long ago was that, Brady? It must have been eons ago.
It was like 2008 and 10 or something like
Coco Crisp, the Red Sox.
Yes.
David Arzma, both.
Both.
Carlos Baerga, the Red Sox.
Yeah, way after his
in like 2002 or
something. Yeah, he was done by then.
Did I say Carlos Baerga?
Yes.
Bubba Crosby, the Yankees.
Yeah.
Raul Ibanez.
Just the Yankees. Come on.
Was he on the Phillies?
He was Phillies, Mariners, and Royals.
I know. I know him from the
Phillies.
He was
with the Mariners 3 times.
Ricky Henderson, both. We didn't get to that one. No one would have gotten that one.
What?
Blackjack McDowell, Yankees. He was the former White Sox,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Willie Mopeña.
Red Sox.
Red Sox.
Former Red.
Yes, that's where I know him from, the Cincinnati Reds. And Darren Bragg.
Former Mariner, but he was both.
Was he a Milwaukee Brewer, too?
Yeah.
No, he was a Mariner.
Oh. There was a... I'm not sure. All I remember is William Opeña, the trade was for the guy who helped win a World
Series.
Bronson
Arroyo?
Bronson Arroyo, yes.
Yeah, there you go. All right, there you got Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweeping the country. You failed miserably. We'll come back. We'll have Last Story Standing next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
This is Sports Saturday with...
...of the NFL.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, I saw this. Get the Last Story Standing. I thought this was good. I like this one.
Can you read it? I lost my sheet.
Which is the guy in the NFL?
Got it.
Yeah,
okay,
I don't have his name in the NFL, but go ahead.
Well, we're talking about a baseball player, so that's okay.
Oh, no, I thought it was the guy in the NFL owned it.
Oh, the guy in the NFL owned it, yes. Robert Mathis.
Yes, that's who it is.
Robert Mathis, a longtime NFL player, just sold a 1952 Mickey Mantle Topps card, grade of 9, 10 being the highest. He just sold it for $2.88 million. It's the second highest price ever paid for a baseball card. The number one is the Honus Wagner 3.12.
Does he say where he got it from? Did he buy it at an auction, or did he just open up a pack of gum or something? I
don't remember. What's fascinating about this card is it makes it so valuable is that somebody at Topps somehow messed up at one point back in the day and threw 300 packs of these into the ocean. So all of these cards containing, or all these packs containing Mickey Mantles were thrown in the ocean. So that story, I assume, is what partially makes it so valuable.
I've been talking about how I'm moving everything out of my house this weekend. Yeah. I must have 3,000 baseball cards that are in a huge suitcase downstairs. I'm going to be checking
Are they
those.
In mint condition?
I have no idea. They've just moved from place to place over the last 30 years.
Give them to me. I'll throw them out for you.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and
No,
do
but
that.
I am going to keep an eye on those.
The mistake of the day goes to Zach in Bristol, but for the week overall, we're going to give it to Michelle in Underhill.
Yes, Michelle in Underhill. She's the proud recipient of a new 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. Thanks to our friends over at Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time.
All right, good week, gentlemen. Everybody, enjoy your Friday. Be safe out there. For Brady, for Rich, I'm already intern Logan.
Yes.
Anybody else?
That's it.
Ah, wow, I got that one right. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.